Good evening. It's good to see you back again this evening. Hope the things we share are a blessing to you. Have you ever laughed at an inappropriate time? Have you ever laughed when you should not have laughed? About 2 years ago, Jody and I were taking a foster care class, so we were at DHR. We were with some other people. There were probably 20 people in the room taking this class, and there's this DHR worker, social worker, leading the class. And she told us that as foster parents, you are going to encounter people, you are going to encounter kids that have been through bad situations. And we were preparing ourselves to hear some stories. And she said she remembered this one story that was just such a bad situation. It involved a mom and her 4-year-old daughter and a younger son, infant son. She said she went to this house, she opened the door, and it was just a bad situation. The mom was passed out on the floor, and the little girl was cooking her brother dinner. And she said it just like that. And when she said this little girl was cooking her little brother, Jody and I were just shocked. This happened in Florence? We could not believe it. And she paused, and then she finally said, "Dinner." And Jody and I realized, "Oh, okay. Well, that's maybe not ideal that the 4-year-old girl would be cooking for her little brother, but it's not nearly what we thought it was." And so, but we looked around and nobody else was laughing. And so we, covered up our mouths and smiled and tried not to giggle very loudly about this obviously bad situation that she had just told us about, but not anywhere close to the bad situation we had imagined it to be. Jody and I laughed at the wrong time because we didn't really know what the story was about. The story was about something we weren't there yet. We hadn't quite latched on to it. Do we know what the story is about? We've been talking a lot about the Bible. This morning we had a whole lesson about whether the Bible is relevant or not. And Kenny and I, you might remember, we actually said the Bible is still relevant to our lives today. Now, I want to talk a little bit more about the Bible, sort of overall about the Bible, what the Bible does for us and why we have the Bible. And the way I want to approach it is, what is the Bible about? What's the story about? We need to understand the whole scope, what it is. I don't know what you would say if I asked you, what is the Bible about? Or I'm not sure what the average American would say. I'm sure there have been polls done. I have not looked at those polls. I don't know what you as a member of Shared Avenue would say if I asked you that question. I think that some people, and I don't know, I think maybe some people here, I think some people in Churches of Christ as a whole or Christian, Christendom as a whole, would say, or at least they would think, the Bible is essentially about me. I don't know if you've thought about it in those terms, but I think that our culture and even our Christian culture encourages us to think about the Bible in those terms. What the Bible is about essentially is, the Bible is about me. This morning, you might remember, if you were here, I admitted to you that I am a selfish jerk. And I said that if the people that know me well will realize that I am a selfish jerk. And I know that some of you are thinking, well, you don't have to get to know him too well to realize that. But I want to defend myself. I think I am in a culture that encourages me to be a selfish jerk. I think that, and maybe it's just humankind as a whole, but I would say especially in the 21st century in America, we are encouraged to think all about ourselves. It's all about me. And whether we turn on the computer or the TV or the radio or anything or pick up a book, we are encouraged to think that our needs and desires are the most important things there are. And if we are not satisfied, that's no good. We need to get satisfied. If we're not satisfied in a marriage, we need to get satisfied with maybe some other marriage. If we're not satisfied in this, whatever it is, we made a commitment to it, well, who cares? Just find some place where your desires are going to be fulfilled. We are encouraged to be selfish. And so when we come to Bible study, sometimes we think, well, the Bible ought to be about me as well. Everything is about me. The Bible ought to be about me also. And so if I'm going to study the Bible, I want it to be relevant to me. I want it to speak to where I am right now. And if I am in a situation where I have young kids, I want the Bible to help me with that. Or if I'm in a situation where my kids are in college, I want the Bible to, and if I'm in whatever situation, I want the Bible to speak to me right now for the situation I am in. And I think what we find is the Bible is not about me. Wednesday night, I asked the class, what would you do if somebody asked you, how do you become a Christian? What would you do? And I think what we came up with Wednesday night is it would be tough to answer that question by saying, well, here's a Bible. Just start in Genesis. You'll figure it out. If somebody who believed in God, let's say, asked you, how do I respond to God's offer of grace? I understand that Jesus died for me. I just want to know, what am I supposed to do now? I want to become a Christian. Our answer probably would not be, here you go. Go for it. What we would do, like somebody brought up the story of Philip and the eunuch. What we would do is we would break open a Bible and we would point out certain verses. We're not just going to say, hey, go for it. We would bring open John and we would point out John chapter 3. We're not going to go to John chapter 4. There's great stuff in John, but for this question, we're not going to go to John chapter. We're going to go to John chapter 3 and we're going to look at verse 16, not verse 25. Verse 16 is the verse we need, and we're going to say, you need to believe. And then we're going to go to Luke chapter 13, verse 3, and we're going to say, what you need to do now is repent. And we're going to go to Matthew 10, 32, and we're going to talk about confession. And then we're going to go to Acts chapter 2, verse 38, and we're going to talk about baptism. Now, we're not going to go to Acts chapter 2, verse 39, or Acts chapter 2, verse 22, there's a specific verse we need to get to. Because if we're trying to answer the question, how do I get saved? Look, we're going to limit the study to maybe a max 10 verses. All right? 10 verses are going to help us answer this question. Have you ever thought about the implications of that? That if somebody says to you, how do I get saved? You're not just going to hand them a Bible. You're actually going to point out maybe 5 verses, maybe 10 verses. There are 1,189 chapters in the Bible. I don't know how many verses. Anybody know how many verses there are? I didn't do that one. I can see whispers, but yeah. So there are a whole lot of chapters in the Bible. What we're going to do when somebody says, how do I become, we're going to point them to 10 verses. Do you know what that means? Do you get the implication? There is a whole lot of the Bible that's not on that question. What the Bible is about is not me and how do I get saved. Now, there is stuff in the Bible about that. Don't mishear me. If we want to answer that question, the way to answer it is to go to the Bible. But that doesn't mean the entire Bible is about that. I've sometimes used the expression, this is kindergarten. You know, hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized. That's good stuff. It's basic. It's basic. It's kindergarten. If we're going to really understand the Bible, we need to understand it's not all about that. The Bible is not all about me. And we need to come up out of, if we want to use a biblical analogy, we wouldn't maybe use the term kindergarten and come up out of kindergarten. We would say something like milk and meat. We might use that one. All right? That's not to say that we don't care about kindergarten. Kindergarten's important. The things you learn in kindergarten are important, but you don't stay in kindergarten. You come up out of it. And you keep those things and you add more stuff to it. And what we see if we really study the Bible is the Bible is not all about me. What is the Bible about if it's not about me? The Bible is about God. There are entire books of the Bible that have almost nothing to say to me in the situation that I'm in right now. We could look at a lot of books in the Old Testament. I'm thinking Leviticus comes to mind. Now, that's not to say, again, that Leviticus has nothing to say to my situation right now, but there's a lot of Leviticus. If I'm looking for stuff, nuggets to bring out right now to help me in my life, Leviticus might not be the place to go. Does that mean that Leviticus is not helpful to me? Why is it in the Bible? Because God wants us to have Leviticus. Why? Because it teaches us about God. The Bible is not about me. The Bible is about God. And when God gives us His Word, He wants us to learn about Him. Now, that is relevant to me because I'm supposed to be like God. But when He gives us His Word, He teaches us about Him. The Bible is about God. The scripture reading tonight was from John chapter 5. And do you notice what Jesus says there? You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me. Jesus says, the Bible is about God. The Bible is about Christ. He says on down later in verse 46, if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. The Bible is about God. The Bible is about Christ. And when we study the Bible and we read in it, we ought to be expecting, maybe not to learn about me, we ought to be expecting to learn about God. The Bible is here to teach us about God. And for the amount of time we study the Bible, what it's doing, one of the things it's doing is, it is helping us take the focus off of ourselves and put the focus on God. It's here to teach us about God. The Bible is not about me. The Bible is about God. The Bible is not about me. The Bible is about us. The Bible is about us. One of the things you recognize when you really study the Bible is that God has desired from all eternity to establish not an individual Christian or an individual believer. He has desired through all eternity to establish a people, a community of people who would together bear His image. I think about Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. Remember the promises to Abraham? In our Bible classes, we'll get there in the next couple of weeks, but just to preview it for you, there were certain promises made to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 when God said, go forth from this land to a land I will show you, a land you don't know. Leave your father and your family and all that and go to this place you've never seen before. And if you do that, I'm going to make you a great nation. It wasn't all about Abraham even, the individual. It was about the nation, the people that would come forth from Abraham. God desired to establish a people. And so he brings that people out of Exodus and he brings them to Mount Sinai in Exodus chapter 19. And he says, I'm going to make you a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. God has desired to establish a people. You think about how that affects us. Matthew chapter 16. Who do people say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Remember how Jesus responds, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven, and I say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. The word church means community. The word church means community, congregation. And Jesus is establishing his community in Matthew 16. That's part of the reason he came. He came to die for our sins, absolutely. He came to preach the good news, that's true. Part of that good news is a community that he is establishing. The Bible is not about me. The Bible is about us. When we read the Bible, we encounter God's plans for his community. And we find that he is concerned with forming a people, not just an individual, but a people who will serve him and reflect his glory. We think about also what Paul talks about in all of his letters. But I think about one passage, perhaps, Galatians chapter 6. Brethren, if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. And he continues on, talking about what it's like to live together as the people of God, to live in community. What Paul's mission so often was, he would baptize people that have never heard of this God that he's preached, certainly never thought about this Messiah before, but he would baptize these people in different locations and he would bring them together and he would say, now you are a community. We call that ecclesia, you know, that's a church. Now, work it out, because I'm leaving. I'm going over here and I'm going to do the same thing over here. And he would send them letters and he would say, I know you've been fighting, stop fighting. I know you've had this trouble, you've been taking each other to court, let's not do that anymore. Let's be patient with one another. Let's show love for one another. Let's be forgiving, because you know what? God forgave us, and so let's forgive one another. So many of his letters were about community formation, because the Bible is about us. Jody and I laughed at the wrong time because we didn't know what the story was about. Do we know what the story is about? It's not about me. The story is about God. And the story is about us as God's people and his desire to form a people to reflect his glory. And even though the story is not about you individually, you can become a part of that story. And maybe tonight you would like to do that. If you have any need, we invite you to come express that now while we stand and sing.